In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Wouldn't it be nice and tidy if good things only happened to good people and bad things only happened to bad people? Sort of like those old cowboy movies where the good guys wore the white hats and the bad guys wore the black hats. It would be helpful in our daily dealings with all the people around us to know who we were dealing with. Oh, you lost your home in the hurricane. You must have done something to deserve that. You won $1 million in a lottery. You must be a great person and God is blessing you. All of it would be nice and tidy. God rewarding the good and punishing the bad. God favoring some and not others. And all of us wishing we were on the good list. But I hope you know that's not the way it is in our relationship with God. The Old Testament story of Moses is the story of a murderer turned heroic leader. In the book of Exodus, Moses murdered an Egyptian who was abusing one of the Israelites, and he buried the body in the sand. And when he was confronted by other Israelites, it became apparent to Moses that if his fellow Israelites, his fellow Jews, knew of the murder, Pharaoh would surely know as well, and Moses would be killed. So he fled Egypt and went to the land of Midian, where he settled down and started a new life. We know that Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. God knew what Moses had done in the past. Nothing was and nothing is hidden from God. But despite his checkered past, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a burning bush, and Moses would be given an opportunity to be instrumental in saving his people, of bringing new life to his captive people, of bringing life out of death. It appears that our God is the God of second chances. And in today's gospel, we read that Jesus was teaching on his way to Jerusalem, and some of the people following him reported a tragic event that took place when some Galileans were slaughtered by Pilate's soldiers. The Galileans were making their sacrifices in the temple, and during the attack, Pilate's men bludgeoned them and cut them to death, and the victim's blood was mingled with the animals that were sacrificed. Jesus counters their story by offering one of his own about an undeserved disaster that occurred when 18 people died as a result of the Tower of Siloam collapsing on them. There was no indication that the victims were notorious sinners. And we can add a story of our own. Linda Armstrong, age 65. Lucad Abraham, age 3. Syed Milni, age 14, all woke up on the morning of March 15th, and all were attendants for Friday prayer at the mosque in Christchurch, New Zealand, and they were killed, along with 47 others, by a terrorist in the mass shooting. Tragic events happen all the time. But neither incident was retribution brought about by God as punishment for sinning. Jesus told the parable of the fig tree. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" And he replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down." In Jesus' day, growing fig trees was costly because fig trees demanded a lot of attention, and compared to other crops, they didn't bear fruit for the first 3 years that they were growing. Yet they drew a large amount of nutrients and water from the soil where they were planted in the vineyards. The gardeners persuaded the landowner to give the tree one more chance. But he will tend it and nurture it, and if it doesn't respond, with that extra care and attention during the next year, that the landowner can cut it down. Jesus uses these examples as a warning to the people to be alert, that death sometimes comes without warning, that life is precarious. So do not delay in doing what is right in God's eyes. Do not delay in recognizing that this, where we exist in this realm right now, is God's kingdom. So don't delay in producing good fruit for God's kingdom. We all know, sooner or later, we are all going to die. We just don't know when. And we started this Lenten season with ashes on your foreheads in the form of a cross, and the words, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." It may sound very strange to you, but as a priest, I tell you that funerals provide windows of opportunity for us to preach about the good news of Jesus Christ, about his love and his mercy. Funerals are often the only time we stop and think about our own mortality, other than on Ash Wednesday. But funerals provide these openings that allow us to contemplate our own mortality and the shortness of life or the suddenness of death. They are opportunities to look at where we have been less than loving, the mistakes that we have made, the pain that we have caused in the lives of others, the ways we have grieved the heart of our loving, gracious, and merciful God. And if we are wise, we will recommit ourselves through our heartfelt, honest before God confession and repent and change our ways, make an amendment of life, and seek reconciliation with those we have injured and with God. We sometimes have a wake-up call when we observe other people's misfortunes or problems, and those questions arise. Those soul-filled questions like, are you paying attention to your own life? Are you paying attention to your thoughts and your actions? Do you know that God cares for us? That God also cares that we bear fruit? So I have a question for you. Maybe ponder it in the next week. If you knew you only had one more month, one more year, one more day to live, what would you want your life to be remembered by? There are certain events in which we participate or hear about that do not seem to fit within our normal expectations of how things should work out. Like those who came to Jesus seeking an explanation for such tragic events, it's tempting for us to try and make sense of or try to protect ourselves by attributing fault or blame to those who suffered. For Jesus, however, it's not a matter of who is the greatest sinner. It is a reminder that apart from God's love and our willingness to live in that love, there is no meaningful future for any of us. So let us, in this third week of Lent, let us pray that our temptation to find fault and blame will be replaced by a willingness to love and serve others. Amen.